Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hebrews chapter 11. We're talking about faith. Been talking about this subject. I'm sorry for my cough, but I'm battling with it. Maybe we'll get going here tonight and it won't be a problem, hopefully. Hebrews 11 and verse 32. This is a wonderful chapter. It's called by a lot of different names. But these last verses of the chapter, I want to read them, and I want to give special attention to just one phrase. Verse 32, "And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had the trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, more of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. These all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect." The phrase in verse 34 that says, "out of weakness were made perfect." Strong. Out of weakness were made strong. Amen. That is a theme that you will see all throughout the Word of God. That God takes the weak and He turns that weakness into strength supernaturally. That God chooses even the weak and the unlikely, sometimes the unqualified. And then He puts His hand upon them, His Spirit upon them. He anoints them. And then they become strong. Praise God. Hallelujah. Maybe tonight my cough is an illustration for this message here tonight. That out of our weakness, the Lord can show Himself strong. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7. The apostle Paul, who had all these wonderful things that God used him to accomplish, anointed him and used him in such wonderful ways. God put His hand upon Saul, who became the apostle Paul, but he says here in verse 7, "Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelation." What was he talking about? Well, he's talking about spiritual revelation that came to him. The biggest part of the New Testament. And God was just revealing Himself to him and inspiring him. And he wrote these various epistles and letters this abundance of revelation, and he could have been lifted up and self-confident. "It was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And He said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities,
that the power of Christ may rest upon me. There is something about a person in their weakness, in their inability, in their utter dependence upon God, that God moves upon that kind of a situation. God works upon that person and uses that person even in spite of their weakness. Verse 12, it says, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong, or then am I strong. Amen. Praise the Lord. And you'll see this theme runs all through the scripture. And I think that the reason that this is on my heart here tonight is that the fact that this morning we were talking about vessels, we were talking about being useful for the kingdom of God. If there's anything that we need to ask the Lord to do in our life is to remind us that without Him we're nothing. To remind us that we can do anything. We have no ability, no power, no strength to accomplish anything in the Spirit, or anything that has any eternal value. We don't have it. Amen. We don't have it. We don't have it. But as we admit and confess our weakness and we recognize our need for God, our dependence upon the Lord, that drives us to Him. That causes us to cry out to Him in our dependence and our weakness. We look to the Lord like we've never looked to Him before, because in our weakness we have a desperation and we have a dependence and a need. And so we put our full trust in the Lord. Remember Uzziah, the king who became a king when he was just a child. But the Bible says that Uzziah, that as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. As long as he recognized how much that he needed God, then God blessed him and prospered him and put his hand upon him and favored him and all the things that he was doing. But the Bible, the scripture talks about the fact that Uzziah was lifted up in his pride. And then when he was strong, when he thought he was sufficient, when he thought he could do it, that's when that he faced the challenge the judgment of God upon him, because of the fact that he was lifted up in his pride. He thought that he could carry out this work, and he was the reason for all the success and all the of the blessing. I said it this morning, I'll say it again. You can't touch the glory of God. You can't touch the anointing of God. Amen. It's not something that you can say, well, I've done this, or I've accomplished this, or this has been accomplished because of my ability or my gifts or my talents. No, we all come to the Lord admitting the fact that we need Him. And we're weak and we need the Lord. And when we come to Him with that kind of dependence, then we are set up to receive His blessing and His favor upon our life. And so we are a people. We are a church who need God. We need the Lord. We need to admit that. Lord, we can't do the work that you've called us to do. We cannot accomplish it unless you do it. You do it. Without you, Lord, we're nothing. We have nothing to offer. But Lord, when you fill up this empty vessel and you fill us with the things of God, with the power of God and the gift of God, then we become useful. We become meat for the Master's use. We become something that God can use when we recognize that. Remember the story of Moses, whenever he was called of God. Moses says, Exodus chapter 4 and verse 10. Moses said, Lord, oh my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. He was to be the spokesman for Israel. He was to be the one that was going to deliver, used of God to deliver Israel from Egypt. The Lord said unto him, who hath made man's mouth, or who maketh the dumb, or the deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. Amen. Amen. Our weakness will always be the reminder to us that we need God. So God doesn't just remove the weakness out of our life. He allows that weakness to be there, so we're constantly reminded of the fact that we're not going to be able to get this done. We're not going to be able to accomplish it. I know we want to see a revival. We want to see a move of God. We want to see our community stirred. We want to see the church stirred and the nation stirred. We want to see God do wonderful and supernatural things. And He will. He will. But He's got to find a people. The eyes of the Lord are in a search. They're looking. And I hope that in London, Kentucky, He finds a people that have made themselves available to the Lord. And they're crying out to the Lord saying, Lord, we can't do it. Without You, we're nothing. Without You, we're going to surely fail. Without You, Lord, we're hopeless. Without You, Lord, in Your presence, in Your power, that we're not going to be able to do anything that's going to count for eternity's sake. Saul, the Bible says that when Saul was chosen of the Lord to be the first king of Israel, that he was head and shoulders over everybody else. That's how he was seen. But when Saul was chosen, he didn't see himself that way. As a matter of fact, when they were looking for him, the Bible says that they said, where did he go? Where is he? He was hiding in the baggage. He was hiding. So if Saul would have remained in that position of humility and in that place of recognizing that he was nobody, then God could have continued to use him. But later on, he became full of pride and didn't think he needed to obey the voice of the Lord. And thus God removed his anointing and removed him from that position of being king. If he would have just stayed in that attitude where he was constantly hiding. Isn't that a vivid picture of a man who recognized he was called of God, but yet he didn't feel like he was qualified? So he was hiding away. He didn't want the limelight. He didn't want to be put out there. He didn't feel like he could do the job. And that was the one that God called. He called a Moses to be a spokesman because he couldn't talk. He called a Saul to be a leader and to be that person of leadership for Israel. But he didn't think he could be that. And he was humble and wasn't feeling like he was sufficient for the task. That was the one that God called. Because out of weakness, there is strength. When we're weak, then He's strong. When we're dependent, then He's the supplier. He's the provider. He's the provision in our life when we're willing to admit the fact that we are without and He is our help. How about when David was chosen to be king after Saul? They lined up all the big, tall, qualified brothers and none of them were the one. And they said, and then, of course, Samuel says, is there another one? Well, yeah, there's this little one, the little scrawny one. He's out there taking care of Jesse's sheep. They bring him in, and his skin is such, his beard hasn't even come in. And that's what it literally describes, that his skin was fair, and he was like an adolescent. He was so young that he was the epitome of weakness. He was just a child, and he didn't seem like the candidate. And all these other big, tall, strong men that looked like they were the ones that any of them would have qualified. But whenever God is looking, He's looking for the weak. He's looking for the base. He's looking for the unlikely. He's looking for the dependent. Amen. But the person who recognizes, Lord, I cannot do it. I don't have the power to do it. Lord, help me. Help me to be able to do it. Yesterday I was online watching the funeral service or the memorial service for David Wilkerson. Pastor there said that often that Brother Wilkerson, whenever he was going to be ministering, sometimes in a meeting somewhere, thousands of people would be there and they would miss him. Where was he at? He's back somewhere, pacing the floor, saying, God, I need a word from you. I need to hear from you. You think, well, this guy, surely he's got a sermon that he can preach, but he's back there crying out to God, saying, God, I just got to have a word from you that needs to be spoken in this predicament. Let me tell you, God can use a person who admits the fact that they need help from the Lord and that they need strength. So David was the unlikely one, but yet he was the one that was called of God. He was despised by his brethren. He was despised later by Saul, Goliath, and the Philistines. Whenever they saw him, Goliath said, What are you doing sending this child up against? Who is this child? He was so angered because that they would send David up against this great Goliath. Amen. Amen. He said, I'm going to feed your body to the birds of the air. And David, something rose up within him. It was the Spirit of God, this little young boy, this young man. And he later told his brothers, is there not a cause? I went out there to fight that giant because there was a cause. He didn't do it because he wanted, you know, to get the credit for it. He did it because he was defending the name of the Lord. He was going out there to stand up and he was anointed of the Lord. And I love it. I can't quote it, but I know that in that verse that when he responds to Goliath, he said, no, today I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. And I am, and all of these Philistines, that their carcasses are going to be laying in the desert. They're all going to be dead today. And your head is going to be taken off. And Israel is going to know, everyone is going to know that there's a God in Israel. Amen. So the Lord was able to use young, unlikely, weak little adolescent David, who was despised by many, but he was full of faith and confidence in the Lord. He never felt like that he could do it. He was depending upon the Lord. Hallelujah. Gideon was also an example of a man who did not believe he could do what he was called to do. He was hiding, just trying to eke out a living, just a little bit of bread, in the threshing floor, down in the wine press, not in the threshing floor, but down in the wine press, threshing out enough to survive from the Midianites. He's scared to death. And suddenly the angel of the Lord appears to him and says, you're a mighty man of valor. And he sure didn't see himself to be that. And he goes on to describe his qualifications. He said, I'm in the smallest tribe. My family is the poorest in all of this tribe, and I am the least in my tribe. My qualifications are I'm the least likely person in all of Israel to do this job. Amen. Glory to God. Some of you are thinking, I can never be used of the Lord. Not so. Not so. If you'll just admit your need of God, you admit your weakness and your failure, God can take you in your lack and your need. And he can use you just as he used Gideon in a supernatural way to be a deliverer for Israel. Jeremiah, call of God to be a prophet. Jeremiah 1:5, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and I adorned thee, I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, oh Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I'm a child. And he was seeing himself as weak and young and unqualified. I can't do this. But the Lord said, say not I'm a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out, to pull down, to destroy, to throw down, to build, and to plant. Glory to God. The Lord can take you in your weakness and your lack of qualification, and he can put his hand upon you just like he did Jeremiah. And he can give you words to say. He can give you power to do the task. He can cause you to be spiritually qualified, even though you may not feel like that you are. He can give you a spiritual endowment of power to do the task that he has called you to do. Amen. I'm just going over a few of these examples. That's some in the Old Testament. You know that even Christ himself, that he illustrated this very same thing in his life. He came into this world in humility. He came into this world as in the frame of a little baby. He came into this world in such a, no fanfare. And in such humility and even poverty. Nothing. That's how he came into the world. Philippians 2, it says, he made himself of no reputation. and took upon him the form of a servant. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, but God has done such a work. God has moved. And even Christ himself is illustrated by the way he came, the way that he lived in humility and many, many years in obscurity when he came out of those hidden years and then anointed of the Spirit of God. And he went forth doing wonderful works of God in that short ministry that he had, that John said that all the books in the world couldn't contain all the things that he has done. The world couldn't contain the books. Hallelujah. Great and mighty things. But he came in the form of a servant. He came in weakness. He came in that form, the form of a servant. Took upon himself no reputation. God used him, and he was the example to all of us. If you want to be useful to the Lord, don't allow pride to be in your heart. Don't get lifted up in your ability. Don't think that you can do it. Don't think that you have the ability to do it. Confess every day when you call upon the Lord, whatever your calling and whatever your task that's before you that day. Lord, it's a big job. I can't do it. I can't do it. You may be trained. You may have a lot of qualifications, but don't depend on your own ability to get the job done. You need the Lord in your life. Amen. You know, a child is symbolic of weakness, innocence, vulnerability, dependence. That's a little baby. That's a little child. But yet, Psalm chapter 8 and verse 2, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest steal the enemy and the avenger. Out of weakness, there is strength. Amen. Out of weakness, God ordains power and strength. Hallelujah. Matthew 19, Jesus said, suffer the little children. Forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. He was saying, here, this is the kingdom. This is potential. This is power. This is what I can do. Let me bless these little children, because I'm going to be able to put my hand upon them and I'm going to build the kingdom of God with them. Hallelujah. Glory to God. John chapter 15 and verse 5. I am the vine. You're the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. If you're not connected to the vine. Amen. If you're not dependent upon the Lord, if every day of your life you're not saying, oh God, I cannot do this task. Oh God, it's too great for me. I have no ability to do it. I don't know what words to say. I don't know how to do it. And we express our complete and utter dependence upon the Lord. Then there's power. Amen. Then there is God moving. When you come humbly before the Lord, admitting your need, then there comes this surging power of the Spirit of God. Amen. Those disciples were ignorant and unlearned. They were fishermen. They didn't have the qualifications, but somehow they were recognized. They were ignorant and unlearned, but they were recognized by everybody that came in contact with them. These men have been with Jesus. They've been with Jesus. They have power and ability that's beyond their natural ability. They don't have the qualifications to turn the world upside down. They don't have the qualifications to evangelize and to preach at the gospel of the kingdom of God. They're just fishermen. They're rough. And they don't have what it takes to get this job done. Oh, but the Lord put his hand upon a Peter. He put his hand upon a John and a James. And they became mighty for God when they stood up under the anointing of the Spirit of the Lord. They preached and thousands were saved. The word of the Lord went forth with power, and God used the weak and he used the unlikely. Glory to God. He can use you too. How does that fit into our situation here at First Pentecostal Church? We need the Lord. We need the Lord. We need the presence of the Lord. Otherwise, our services are just, we're just singing songs. We're going through routine. And there's no real power. There's no real manifestation of the power and the presence of God. But God is looking for vessels. He's looking for people who will call upon the name of the Lord, who will humble themselves under the mighty hand of God and see Him pour out His Spirit upon you, upon me, on every one of us. Hallelujah. Amen. That's where revival comes. Revival comes upon a dependent people. Do you know that Azusa Street, it didn't fall upon the mainstream of religion. It fell upon a lot of people that were kind of ridiculed. It fell upon some who were kind of, not accepted, disenfranchised. Some that were, not accepted because of their lack and their need. Some by their race and all of those circumstances. And it was a humble place where they met. It wasn't a big cathedral. It wasn't all of these things. But it was just a people hungry for God, hungry for a move of God, dependent upon the Lord. And the Lord poured out His Spirit. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The Bible says that God resists the proud. He resists the proud. He resists the self-sufficient. If you think you can do it, you're not going to have God's favor. If you think you have the ability, no anointing. No power of God, no power with God. But as you come to the Lord, admitting your need, crying out to the Lord every day, Lord, we cannot, I cannot, I don't have what it takes. Lord, help me, empower me, touch me, anoint me, equip me for the task. Hallelujah. When He told those disciples to wait in the upper room, He told them to stay until you're endued with power. Because He knew that if they did not, nothing was going to happen. Nothing. They had been eyewitnesses to what Jesus had done. They had a lot of things that they could say, a lot of stories that they could tell. They had a lot of experiences that no doubt that they could have went forth telling people all about. But Jesus said, that's not going to be enough. You're going to have to wait until you're endued with power from on high. And when you receive this special empowerment of My Spirit, then you are going to be able to go forth. Do you know all of the known world was turned upside down, transformed in a matter of just about 30 to 40 years, that every place that they knew of where there were people, the gospel had been preached there. They had traveled close to 2,000 miles preaching in every city and village and every place where there were people that could hear the gospel. And that kind of a supernatural move of God that was spreading all over the known world at that time, that happened because of a people who were dependent upon God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We do live in a time when you can go to, and it's not really a bad thing. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I think it's fine to go to conferences and learn things and how to do things, how to do youth ministry, how to do children's ministry, how to do evangelism. There's nothing really wrong with learning some things and getting some books and getting some counsel and advice. I'm not saying that that's all a bad thing, but again, we need to be reminded of the fact that the Sunday school grows whenever there's a move of God in the Sunday school. Amen. The bus ministry grows whenever there's a move of God in the bus ministry. The children's ministry, the children's church grows whenever the Spirit of God is being poured out among the children. The youth ministry grows when there's a move of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Every work, every ministry, the choir becomes more than just nice songs and harmony. It becomes a force for God whenever there's an anointing of the Spirit of God. Amen. Every part of our lives and every part of our services are transformed whenever we admit we need Jesus. We need the Lord. We need His Spirit. We need His presence. And we don't have it. We just don't have it. We don't have what it takes. But He does. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. We're praying. Many of you have committed yourself to pray and to fast over these weeks. Let me tell you. That's a very humbling thing. Many of the places in the Word of God where it talks about, humbling yourself before the Lord, it's really describing a person who fasts and prays. It's a humbling thing. It is a time when you recognize how much you need the Lord, and how much, how dependent you are upon fleshly things and carnal things instead of the things of the Spirit of God. When you fast and pray, you're able to focus upon the Lord and upon your need for God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So let's do it. Let's work together. Let's pray together. Let's seek God together and let's admit our need. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, we got to get a hold of God, folks. We got to get a hold of God and admit that we are in need of the Lord. Let's stand together. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, without you, we're nothing. Without you, Lord, we're going to fail. Oh, God, without your presence, we're not going to be able to fulfill your will, your purpose in our lives. Oh, but Lord, we know that if you'll come, if you'll fill up this empty vessel, if you'll fill up our lives, our hearts, oh God, then we become useful to the kingdom. Hallelujah. 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 There's a song that Brother James has on the music that plays while we're praying around here in the mornings. I don't know how long that this song has been on the playlist, but it's a little song that just keeps saying, I'm helpless. I'm helpless. I'm helpless. Just keeps on saying that. Lord, without you, I'm helpless. I don't have it. Many times that song has come on and I've just followed through and taken that as my prayer. Lord, I just feel helpless. I don't know what to do. Needs are too big for me. Problems are beyond anything I can do about it. I'm helpless, Lord. Oh, but he is not. Hallelujah. 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 When I'm weak, then he's strong. Amen. Glory to God. And all of those great heroes of faith, out of their weakness, were made strong. In their weakest times, in their times when it seemed like they were going to fail or there was going to be a total loss, then comes this insurgence of power, the presence of God, the ability of God into that situation that they're in. Hallelujah. By faith, God turns our weakness into strength. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Can we come and gather in around this altar tonight? If you're here in this service, you really sense your need, then you can come first. But we're all going to gather in here around the altar here tonight and call out to God. Hallelujah. And ask the Lord to do a work in us. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.